Sunday was Halloween, and Thursday is Diwali, the festival of lights. And in between them is Bhoot Chaturdashi, when the doors between this world and the afterworld creak open. 14 generations of dead ancestors can come visiting, but also assorted evil spirits up to no good. So you light 14 lamps and eat 14 kinds of greens to ward them off. It's like Halloween without the candies, but with lots of ghosts. A lot of ghosts. Each part of India comes with its own ghost, as Rakesh Khanna, a Californian who now lives in Chennai, found out. There are, as he puts it,
necrodiversity hotspots.
Places with more than their fair share of things that go bump in the night. He maps them out in the A to Z guide of Ghosts, Monsters and Demons of India. It has over 300 entries, 700 plus if you count the subcategories. This is Sandeep Roy in Kolkata. I grew up in a part of India which had a lot of ghosts around, very specialized ones. The Skondokata were the ghosts of people who lost their heads to a passing train. The Mechobhut could kill for some fried fish. But a tiny state in India's northeast, Mizoram, beats us hollow in terms of necrodiversity. Though some are tricky to pronounce.
It's a long name. Well, I will not vouch for my pronunciation, but I think that's maybe sort of close.
She's a witch with a hard bird beak.
And the story of this witch is a little bit like, has some similarities to Hansel and Gretel or to Little Red Riding Hood.
A woman, Nuchimi, and her younger sister take a wrong turn and end up in the house of the... Yep, that one.
She uses her bird beak to devour the younger sister's brain. there's a long revenge scene where the girl named Nuchimi gets back at her.
It involves a snake, a nest of termites, tiny biting red ants, a ferocious dog, an angry goat, and a wild boar. And even though it ends happily ever after, Khanna says,
I think if I had heard it as a child, I would really be freaked out.
All this to say, it is not for the faint of heart. If you've grown up thinking of ghosts as white, wispy, transparent, floating creatures, you have not met Indian ghosts. Indian ghosts aren't even averse to some ghost human sex. In some tribes, like the Gond.
The Matia Gond, who are pretty sexually liberal, at a young age, like there's stories of ghosts that come and visit their former lovers at night. And sometimes it's not entirely unwanted.
Or the Ranta, a female jinn in the mountains of Kashmir who likes strapping men with bulging muscles and has a special weakness for premature baldness. So Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, had better watch out.
It doesn't matter!
Oh, but it does, on a lonely night in Kashmir. And after mating with her man, the Ranta sometimes rips his heart out and gobbles it while it's still beating, or throws him into a mortar and pestle and grinds him into a chutney. A bit like WWE, actually. And there's some gender switching going on, like the Jal Kuwari of eastern India.
Sometimes they appear as men and abduct women, but then the same spirit will appear as a woman and abduct a man. And sometimes they are women who abduct women and men.
India also has white wispy ghosts, but it seems they came with the British. For example, in the 1880s, Madame Blavatsky, the Russian founder of the Theosophical Society, became famous in India for her seances where she tried to contact the dead.
And people were spouting ectoplasm out of their orifices and doing automatic writing where they were writing in strange handwriting.
And Chennai, where she was based, now has the Avi ghost all over its pulp fiction and soap operas. And the Avi sounds a lot like Blavatsky's European ghosts. White, wispy, forlorn and brooding. But wispy or solid, one thing is true. Ghosts are becoming an endangered species in a country where we fill up marshlands, cut down trees, and turn up the electric lights.
A lot of people say that electric lights have driven them away.
Which begs the question, when a ghost disappears, does it leave the ghost of a ghost behind? This is Sandeep Roy in Kolkata for KALW.